I want to just recognize them. It has been 2 years. Next week will be the first Sunday for Nathan to be with us, and that means this worship team has been leading us for over 2 years by themselves, and they have just done a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic job. Thank you all for leading us in worship. They will continue to lead us in worship, but then now they'll have some leadership, and we're thankful for that. Amen. We are continuing our path of discipleship. What are the disciplines that God calls us to do in His Word to grow in our faith? What should followers of Jesus Christ do to grow in their faith? And I believe that these are very biblical things that we're walking through. And our goal is for each of you to identify where you are on this path of discipleship and ask this question: what's next for me? What do I need to do that I haven't been doing to grow in my faith? We took a look at how the first step after we're saved is to be baptized. The second step was to be part of a church, to be committed to a local body of believers through church membership. We've taken a look at how it is important what we're doing right now through corporate worship and how that helps disciple us. We've taken a look at corporate Bible study and why it's important for us to be part of a group of small group so we can apply God's Word and love on each other, engage with each other in small groups. And this week, we're going to take a look at private worship, our quiet time. You know, we kind of take quiet time for granted that that's what we as Christians do, but there may be some of you out there that nobody ever told you how to have a quiet time. And what is included in a quiet time? What do you do in a quiet time? Those of you that have been doing a quiet time for years and decades and decades, here for a first time, maybe. What maybe God might challenge you to do something new through your quiet time. So let me open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for worship this morning. I thank you for being ushered into your presence. And Lord, I just feel you at work in my heart. And I pray you're working in the heart of others as well. I pray as we take a look at what it means to have private worship or quiet time, that you'll speak to us, that you'll speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I used to walk down, enter into my grandmother's dining room, and I would always find evidence of her having her quiet time. Her Bible would be laid out, her quiet time guide, her journal, usually a coffee cup that she'd been drinking while she had her quiet time. And it wasn't too unlike when I would go to my dad's house for the weekend. We would sleep in, of course. But when I woke up, there'd be evidence there at the table that my dad, in the same way, had his quiet time devotional out, his journal, and his Bible that was written in the margins and underlined and highlighted. And this is actually the Bible that he used. But the same would be true for my mom. We'd get up early, of course, to go to school. She would get up earlier. And the evidence of her quiet time would be out on the table as well. And you have to forgive me. As a kid, I would snoop through their prayer journals that they had out. And there they would have written all the things that they were praying for. And all three of their prayer journals, I would find my name. That they were praying for me. That I would grow in my faith. I would grow into the man that God had created me to be. My parents cherished their quiet time. We know it's important for us and our faith and who we are and our spiritual growth, but we struggle doing it, don't we, many times? We get busy. We struggle to make time to do it. Do you know that every person in the world has the same amount of time each week? 168 hours you have a week. But we don't have time to do everything, do we? We have to make time for the things that really count. And if there's anything that really counts, it's our time with our Heavenly Father, right? Because if we're too busy for a relationship with our Heavenly Father, we're too busy. For a relationship with our Heavenly Father is what we're created for. It's why God created us. It's why He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, so we might have a personal love relationship with Him. And what does a relationship boil down to? What does love boil down to? Time. Love in the relationship with your children equals time. Love in the relationship with your spouse, your husband or wife, equals time. And the same is true for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Love equals time. But we have to make a choice to personally worship Him. Spend time and worship with Him. We've already established that corporate worship is important, but it can never, ever be enough. It's our private time. God created us for a personal, unique, I've talked about this before, a personal, unique, intimate relationship with Him. And so it is in our quiet time that that takes place. We know that having a quiet time is important. It was important to Jesus. We have several references to Jesus withdrawing on a regular basis to pray. Jesus modeled having a quiet time. That's your first blank there in your worship guide. Jesus modeled having a quiet time. Mark 1:35 says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place there, and he prayed." Luke 5:16 says, "But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray." Jesus was the Son of God. And the most important time to Him each and every day was the time that He spent with His Heavenly Father. Even on His busiest of days, those days when He was preaching to thousands of people, feeding thousands of people, healing all kinds of people, even on the days that He was doing the miraculous miracles of healing people and calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee, on all those days, He woke up early in the morning, withdrew to a desolate place, and spent time with His Heavenly Father. It is there that He got His power. It was there that He got His focus. It was there that He got His purpose for the day. If Jesus did it, isn't it good enough for us? Do we not need that time, no matter how busy we say we are? When we spend time with Him, we get the strength to do the things He's called us to do. We get the motivation to do the things He's called us to do. We get the focus to do the things that He has called us to do. Let me give you four privileges of having a quiet time. Four privileges. The first privilege is this. When we have a quiet time, we give devotion to God. And He deserves our devotion, does He not? He provides everything we need in life. He provides the breath that we breathe. He provides our shelter. He provides the ability to work and our work that we enjoy. He provides the car that we drive. He provides everything that we enjoy. But most importantly, He provides our salvation. We might live in right relationship with Him. If there's anybody that deserves our devotion, if there's anybody that deserves our private worship, time set aside for, it's Him. Another privilege of having a quiet time is we get direction from God. Psalm 25:4 through 5 says, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I'll wait all the day long." When we meet with Him each and every day, He corrects our course. He corrects our life. He gives us the direction we need for each and every day. And when we get directions from Him every day, He takes care of our tomorrow. He sets our life on the course that He has set for us. He's the ultimate GPS of our lives. So we have to check in with Him each day. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." God wants to make your path straight. He has a map for you in your life. But if you never find that path, if you don't spend time with Him, you're not going to know the way that He's set before you. You need to know the Creator of the road to know the road that He wants you to take. When we spend time with Him, we get direction for our life. Third, when we have a quiet time, we gain delight in the Lord. It makes us happier. You spend time with your Heavenly Father, you receive joy. You experience joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Need more joy in your life? Spend more time with Him. K-N-O-W, God. K-N-O-W, joy. But no God, no joy. It's really very simple. Fourth privilege of our quiet time is we gain delight in God. We gain delight in God. I said that. Makes us happier, gives us joy. The fourth thing is we grow more like God. We grow more like God. You become like the people you hang out with. We tell our teenagers that all the time. The friends you hang out with will be what you will become like. We become like the people we hang out with. You hang out with people on television, you're going to start looking like them. You hang out with people on TikTok, you spend all your time doing that, you're going to start looking like them. We all know that husbands and wives, after they've spent quite a bit of time together, they start looking like each other. I'm so sorry, Stephanie. It's good for me. You might know people look like their pets. They spend so much time with them. I don't know about that, but I've seen it. It happens. The point is we start to look like the people we hang out with. The same is true for God. The more time we spend with Him, the more we're going to look like Him. The more people will see Him in us. The more we'll think like Him, react like Him, have the attitudes that He has. And that is a great privilege to have happen. Don't we want to look like God the most? The more time we spend in God's Word, spend time in prayer, spend time with Him, the more we'll look like our Heavenly Father. You hang out with God, you'll look more like Him. Let me give you four elements to an effective quiet time. First, start with the proper attitude. Have your heart right when you go to sit before God. Come with expectancy. Come ready for God to speak to your heart and act in your life. We should come with reverence. We're meeting the same God who created the universe. We're meeting with the same God who met with Moses on Mount Sinai. We're meeting with the same God who met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We're meeting with the same God of the book of Revelation. Should we not come with reverence and a sense of holiness, preparing our hearts, preparing ourselves with the right attitude, realizing that it's a precious gift to meet with Him so personally? We should come with alertness. We need to be wide awake. Get some coffee, if that helps you. Make sure you have a good night's sleep the night before. Maybe not watch the late night programs, so you can be alert for your morning program with your Heavenly Father. And come with a willingness to obey. Come with a willingness to say yes. have yes already on your lips. So when you read God's word or he speaks to you in prayer, that yes is already there. Because you know he wants to speak to you. You know he wants to challenge you to do something or not do something. And so let the words on your mouth be yes, even as you begin. A willingness to obey. Right? A willingness to say, yes, Lord, whatever you ask, I'll do it. Second, select a specific time. Select a specific time. It should be the same time every day. It should be an appointment that nobody can break that appointment. So place it on your planner, guys, or ladies, put it in your phone. You know, you set appointments with people, people you want to meet with, people you don't want to forget that you need to meet with them. Well, should we not do the same with God? Is he not our most important appointment we have each day? Now, some people like to have their quiet time in the evening. I can't do that. I can't do that because my evenings are always different. My Monday night looks different from my Tuesday night, looks different from my Wednesday night, looks different from my Thursday night. And I can't protect that time. So I like to do mine in the morning. When I first thing I do when I get in here, and I know I'm cheating, I know I've got it a lot easier than the rest of you, but the first thing I do when I arrive in the morning is I'll have quiet time there at my desk, or even I'll come in here to have that. But I'm sure that you have a place and a time that you can have your quiet time, whether it be right after you wake up, whether it be while you're having your breakfast, whether it be the first thing you do when you get to work. I know of one of our teens who had their quiet time in their car in the parking lot at school because it was protected time, protected place that they could have, and they could have it on a regular basis so they could have a morning routine. Another benefit of doing it in the morning is that when we have our quiet time in the morning, it's like putting on our Jesus glasses. We read what God wants us to do, we put on those glasses, and we live out the rest of our day in that attitude that he told us to have, or looking for opportunities to be obedient to the thing that he's called us to do. If we have it in the evening, and this happened to me several times, we're having it in the evening, about to go to sleep, God says, well, you should do this during the day. And I was like, oh, I should have done that earlier. If I'd just known about it in the morning, I would have done it. Having it in the morning allows us to put on our Jesus glasses and look for opportunities to be obedient during the day. There's a great poem by Ralph Spalding Crushman, and it's called I Met God in the Morning. And it goes like this. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered, all day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought us peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings when keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. Let God speak to you in the morning so you can be responsive to show what he teaches you the rest of the day. Next, choose a special place. Choose a special place. A favorite armchair, the back porch, the kitchen table. Where's your holy ground to meet God? Did you know that Jesus had a special place to meet God when he was in Jerusalem? Luke 22:39 says he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Jesus' holy place was in the Mount of Olives. He would go there and spend time with his heavenly Father. Think about when before that he was arrested and crucified, where did he go? He went to that special place, have that time with God. It should be a place that's protected, so there's not a lot of distractions, but let it be the same place every day. And if that's a place where you meet God on a regular basis, whether it be your kitchen table, when God has spoken to you on several occasions, when you come into the presence of God, when you feel His presence, when He speaks to you through His Word or through your prayers, that kitchen table, that armchair, that seat on the back on your back porch or your front porch, it becomes holy ground. It becomes your burning bush. It becomes a place that is so, so sweet. It's the place where you meet with the living God. Well, fourth step or suggestion is to follow a simple plan. Follow a simple plan. I want to give you six steps or six items for a quiet time plan. And so I'm going to come over here and use the tools that we have. First thing in your plan is to wait on God. Just take a moment to be quiet. Maybe set 2 minutes on your cell phone just to quiet your heart. Prepare your heart. Kind of like we do in worship here. We just take a few minutes just to get rid of all the voices in our head and just quiet our heart so we can listen to Him. The psalmist did that. You could even use these verses to help prepare your heart. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me to the way everlasting." Psalm 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things from out of your law." Just spend some time praying, asking God to calm your heart, be ready to listen and read and hear what He has to say to you. Second, read the Scriptures systematically. Systematically. Have a Bible reading plan. Now, I know many of you use these open windows. Or maybe you use Our Daily Bread. My parents, my grandmother, used these religiously. I thought probably almost that they were more important to them than their Bible. They were all over the house. There would be editions that were from last year or the last season. They'd be all marked up and turned. They'd have them everywhere. I thought maybe Our Daily Bread multiplied. They got together in the middle of the night and multiplied. They were just everywhere. I thought it was strange when I went to other houses and people didn't have Our Daily Bread or our open windows in their houses. They were just everywhere. Now, these are good. And I know many of you use them, and that is a very good thing. But a lot of times, we might just read that one verse that's given, and we read that devotion, and then we say that prayer at the bottom, and we're not really getting all of God's Word. And this is better than nothing, let me tell you. But I believe God would have us read God's Word systematically, reading all of God's Word. And there's several ways you can do that. If it tells you, like this one, to read Psalm 119, 104, instead of just reading that one verse, read the whole chapter. So you read it in context, and you get all the chapter. Another way to do it is just have a systematic reading plan. Open Windows actually has reading the Bible through. It'll give you whole passages to read, and if you read throughout the whole year, you'll finish the Bible in 1 year. You'll read all of God's Word, not just the New Testament, not just the passages that are easy in the Old Testament, but the whole counsel of God's Word. There's Bible reading plans to read the Bible through in a year, and many of you use those. I find that kind of difficult, because if you have to read the whole Bible through in 1 year, you have to read like 4 or 5 chapters a day, every day. That's a lot of Scripture. It's all right if you don't read it in a year. Read a chunk that's good for you. I like reading a chapter a day. It's manageable. I can apply it to my life. I can read it and have meaning, and I'm not just trying to get through it. Remember, it's not how much Scripture you go through. It's how much Scripture goes through you. So have a systematic reading plan. We have provided, and I will provide even next week, a systematic reading plan. It'll be in your bulletin, and you can use that to help you read it systematically. Next, meditate and memorize. Meditate and memorize. Think about it. Ruminate on it. One scholar says to ruminate, you just have to think about a cow. And this sounds disgusting, but this is what we need to be doing for God's Word. They eat something, what do? They regurgitate it, chew on it some more, swallow it again. And they do that over and over and over again. Should we not do the same with God's Word? Meditate on God's Word. Regurgitate it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Spend time on it again and again. Apply it to your life. What does that verse say about who God is? What does that verse say about who I am? What does this verse want me to do? What does this verse not want me to do? And then memorize Scripture. I'm going to preach a week on memorizing Scripture, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it this morning. But let's briefly talk about what memorizing Scripture does. Psalm 119:11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Memorize a passage of Scripture. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize Psalm 1. Memorize the Beatitudes. Memorize Genesis 1. Memorizing Scripture in a passage helps give that Scripture context. And it's not just random verses here or there. But God does awesome things when we memorize God's Word. He brings it up. It helps us fight sin. He brings it up when we're in conversations with others. He brings it up when we're witnessing with people. Next, journal. Have a journal. Write down what God said to you each day when you've entered into God's Word. Have a prayer journal where you write down what you're praying for. And then write the date that He answers those prayers. How awesome is it to be able to go back and say, God answered almost every one of those prayers. Sometimes I have something in there that I've been praying for years. But almost always, they always get answered. How awesome is it to go back and look at through your old prayer journals and see how God's been faithful and how He moved and how He acted and how He spoke to you. Finally, have your prayer time. Have your prayer time. Close your time in prayer. Spend time in communication. He spoke to you through God's Word. Now speak to Him. Many people over the years have gotten lots of benefit out of the acronym ACTS. I find it helpful to me. You find the letters there written in your worship guide. What do they stand for? A, adoration. Start by spending time telling God how great He is. That's what adoration is. A lot of times I'll just sing a small chorus. God is so good. Or all kinds of different praise choruses, just to giving praise to who He is. Second, spend time in confession. What's something that you need to confess before God? A sin of omission or commission. Something that would keep you from entering into the presence of God. T, thanksgiving. Give thanks for God for all the good things that He's provided for you and give Him thanks. S, supplication. Starting for supplication for others. Pray for others' needs. Pray for your family. Pray for your co-workers. Pray for your fellow church members. Please pray for your pastor. Pray for others. Pray for your one. Pray for your neighbors. Finally, supplication for yourself. After you've prayed for all those different things, I guarantee you that your mindset is going to be a lot different than if you just went asking God for your wish list. Your wish list will change. It'll be more God-centered. It'll be more likely to answer those prayers. So waiting on God, praying for God to speak, reading God's Word, memorizing and meditating God's Word, journaling, and spending time in prayer. These are the components of a quiet time. I've included in your worship guide on the back side of the prayer prompts a little worship guide or a quiet time guide, or Stephanie didn't like me using this word, worksheet, because it implies work. But you can use this as your plan for your quiet time, an opening prayer to prepare your heart. The passage that you're reading today, what did God say out of it? The memory verse that you're working on, you can write it out by memory as much as you can. Then your journal entry, what did God say to you today? And then just working through the Acts prayer. You can take this. You're welcome to use the church copier if you want. Make 365 copies if you need. But just use it to help you with your quiet time. Imagine if all of us as a church family took serious our personal and private worship. What would it do to us as a church? Would it not revitalize each of our own hearts and in turn revitalize our church? I know we have a few deacons in here. They tell me about their quiet time and they'll spend quite a bit of time. Now, one of them's retired, so they got the time to do that. But if you're not having a quiet time, just start with 5 minutes. Any time is better than no time at all. And if you're already doing about 5 minutes, maybe work up to 15. I guarantee you it'd probably take you about 15 minutes if you did all these things. But I guarantee you, once you're faithful to this, you'll want to spend more and more time with your Savior. God wants to do awesome things. And if you're not having a quiet time, or you haven't been taking it very seriously, or maybe you just kind of been reading that one verse and reading that devotion, add some of these elements to your quiet time. Try it this week and see if God does not do a work in your heart, even this week. Our personal time with God is so important to who we are and our personal discipleship. May we be faithful to it. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for my time I get to have with you each day. And I thank you for the tools and the resources we have available to us. But we really don't need tools. You've given us your word. May we be faithful to spend that time with you. Because we know that time equals love. And you long to love on us. And you long for us to be in that relationship with each other. We love you, Lord. And we look forward to spending time with you in private this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you don't have a personal love relationship with Jesus, all that doesn't make sense. But God wants to have a personal love relationship with you, so much so He sent His own one and only Son to be with you. If you don't have a personal love relationship with Christ, I'd love to pray with you. Even as we sing, I'd love to start you on that journey. And Christian, what have you been challenged to do this morning? In your personal quiet time, maybe spend some time, even as we sing, saying, Lord, I'm going to take this time more seriously. Or I'm going to add memorizing God's Word to my quiet time. Or I'm going to read God's Word systematically. What has God challenged you to do this morning? Will you stand? Let's sing together.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that day. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all
there's
There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. There's just something about that name.
Sometimes for my time of adoration, I'll sing that very chorus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Thank you for being here today. Hope you've been encouraged. Hope you've encountered our living Savior this morning and worship. Take him with you in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your family. May we proclaim that precious, precious name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious, precious name. We thank you for the privilege of meeting you just like Moses did, just like the prophets did, just like the disciples did. We have the privilege of coming into your presence and talking with you and hearing from you and you speaking to us. Thank you for that privilege. May we honor it each and every day. Help us as we go. May we be your lights in a world of darkness. May we proclaim your love in a world of hate. May we be the arms of care in a callous world. May we be your representation to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.